we get into chapter 2, we're going to talk about the Sabbath and the Sabbath rest. Genesis chapter 2, as we go verse by verse through Genesis, we have finished chapter 1, going verse by verse, and it's one of the most God-centered chapters in the Bible. For any Christian, especially a pastor or a Bible teacher, for anyone to say, well, you know, Genesis, we just can't take it literally, is such a blasphemous statement. Because think about this. Out of all of the chapters in the Bible, God is mentioned the most in chapter 1 of Genesis chapter 1. And the details that God give may not make sense to you. But if I'm going to start with the Bible, I better start believing it until it tells me not to. And it never tells me not to. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, it says, thy word is true from the beginning. So this is the most God-honoring, God-centered chapter in the entire Bible. And it describes the process of how God created everything. How did he do it? With his hands? Or what does it say? With his word. It tells us when God created everything. At the beginning. And he tells us why he created everything. Do you know why God made you? And why God made trees and mountains and water and planets and stars? To reflect him. To display his glory. Not us. We learn all that in chapter 1. Chapter 2 comes along and covers the creation of Adam and Eve. This first man and first woman were not orangutans or apes or monkeys or anything like that. They were full-grown, perfect human beings. But sandwiched between the finish of chapter 1 and then Adam and Eve are three verses that set one day above all others, and that's the Sabbath, right here in chapter 2. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 2 in Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended the work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So when we start to look at this thing, notice the first thing right off the bat, God stopped working. Now, this was the beginning of the seventh day, all right? This is the beginning of Saturday. If you know your work week, you have all these days that you're working, and then Saturday comes along, and you wonder, why is it everybody takes off Saturday? Well, it's in the Western world, we kind of pattern our schedule is based on the Bible, thankfully, because of the influence of preaching and teaching the Word of God throughout history. But here we're talking about, this is the beginning of the seventh day. And when I say seventh day, I mean Saturday. I mean the seventh 24-hour day from the beginning. It's only been 144 hours since verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It's only been 144 hours. And now God says, it's time to rest. So everything was finished. Look back there in verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were what? That's cool. So he has worked for 6 24-hour days. Basically, I think he basically worked nonstop. And then at sunset, he stopped. And there are two important times in the Bible. There are several times the word finished comes along. But there are two important times that finished appears in your Bible. Right here in chapter 2, it's right after a perfect creation, which tells you right off the bat, the entire universe was just right. It was perfect. God didn't look at it and go, oh, that star's out of place. You ever made something? Now, I've made a cake probably twice in my life. And you ought to know why. Because when you make the cake and you think it's all cool, the top layer slides off, you know, and then you have to adjust it back. And when you're putting the icing on it, it pulls off some of the cake, you know, with it when you're spreading it, and then you have to cover that up. You ladies know, you never make that mistake, but us guys do. But see, when God made the universe, it was finished. It was perfect. It was exactly what he wanted done. So he says, right after a perfect creation, he says, it's perfect. Look in chapter 1 and verse 31. Look back one verse back in the last verse of chapter 1. It says, and God saw everything that he had made, every atom, molecule, cell, every rock, every droplet of water. And behold, it was what? It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So it finishes the sixth day. So when we look at this finished creation, we're looking at something that has no mistakes in it. There was nothing need to be adjusted or changed or repaired. How many, are there any people who are under 60 years old who remember having to adjust the TV? Get it just right, you know? Some of us remember those days. God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to adjust everything. Everything was perfect. But there was another time, and that was right after a perfect salvation. Do you know the words, "It is finished," were cried out from the cross by Jesus Christ? You know, when God looked at the universe after he made it, he says, "It's finished." And then when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said, "It's finished too." There is nothing more that Jesus has to do to save your soul. There's nothing more he has to do to make you complete, to make you holy, to make you his. It is finished. I never forget, I've had the privilege of witnessing to 13 Irish Roman Catholic priests in my history here in Ireland, sat down with all of them. And without exception, every one of them, as you go through the book of Galatians and as you show them the gospel, Romans chapter 10, and you show that to them, they look at you and almost put you away saying, "Surely there's something for me to do." And there's not. It's like Adam. Can you imagine Adam waking up saying, "All right, Lord, let's start working on this universe of yours." The universe was finished, wasn't it? And you know, when anybody comes to church and has this attitude, "All right, Lord, what do I need to do so that I can help you save me?" No, it's finished. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel. It's done. So I know you're maybe not impressed with this, but God says, "It's time for me to stop." Now, he didn't stop being God. He didn't stop holding everything together. It says that he holds everything together. He simply said, "I'm finished. Everything's complete." And that leads us to, I want you to see a word here I'm going to use. Look at verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made." And he, what's that next word? He rested. You know what that word is? He Sabbathed. I think it's absolutely brilliant. He rested, meaning he stopped working. He did no more creating after day six. Now, he didn't need to rest, okay? God didn't need to crawl into bed and say, "Oh, I've worked for 6 days. It's time for me to take a day off." That's not what he's doing. You see, when they talk about nuclear power and nuclear bombs and stuff, what they do is they tap the energy that's inside an atom, and they split that atom, or they fuse the atoms, depending on what they're doing, and there's so much energy released. Where'd the energy come from? God put it there. If God put all the energy in this universe, he's not lacking energy, is he? It's not because if he's so infinite that he can put all of this in this universe, start every star and galaxy in motion, put life into every square inch of this planet, if he's able to do all that, he's not going to go, "Oh, I'm so tired today." No, no, no. He just stopped working. And he Sabbathed. That means he rested on purpose. He rested with a purpose, not because he was tired, but we're going to see that purpose. That's the whole purpose of him putting this in this scripture here. Now look at verse 3. He not only rested, but he sanctified and made it special. Verse 3, "And God blessed the seventh day." Notice that. He blessed it. He made it special. And he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had made. So God set the seventh day above all the other days of the week. He made it a blessing. And really, the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing. When I'm doing something, I usually am very quick to say, "Lord, bless what I'm about to do, because otherwise it's going to fall apart. Lord, make it good." We always want God to bless our work, but you know what God wants to do? He wants to bless your rest as well. You better get this. Psalm 127, you don't have to turn there, but let me quote this to you. Psalm 127, verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows because you're stressed out. For so he, God, giveth his beloved what? Sleep." God blesses you sometime with just the ability to sleep. So God blessed the seventh day, And he declared that people need to stop themselves as well. Stop whatever they're doing and rest for a day. Very few cultures throughout history have ever taken a day of rest up until the modern age. People were constantly worked to death. You know what the lifespan of people, slaves in Egypt working on the pyramids, the lifespan of them was? 23 years. Why'd they only live to be 23? Because they worked them nonstop, 7 days a week, carrying, working. They just forced slave labor to build cities and pyramids and stuff, and people wouldn't live long. You were never meant to work 7 days a week. Do you understand what I'm saying? But cultures never cared about the Bible. They never cared about people. God did. Those of us who read and believe the Bible, especially the book of Genesis, we know that we were designed to work. Were we designed to work? Yes, even in the Garden of Eden, what did Adam do? He was a farmer. He was a gardener. He was working. He had a job to do. We were designed to work, but we were also designed to rest. Now, a lot of you take that for granted. But many of you, aren't you glad you're not working 7 days a week? I mean, there's some jobs I wouldn't enjoy. Being a junior doctor, working 60 hours a week minimum. Honestly, I mean, there's some serious, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how people do shift work, you know, 2 weeks, these hours, next 2 weeks, they're 6 hours later, and the next 2 weeks, they're 6 hours later, and their cycle's going on. I couldn't rest. So God rested as our example. Look at Exodus. We'll come back to Genesis in a moment. Exodus chapter 20. Next book after Genesis, Exodus chapter 20. God rested not because he needed to rest, but he rested on purpose to be our example. Isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, Jesus, when he ate, you know what he did? The first thing he did every time he ate, not just at the Lord's Supper, but every time he ate, you know what he did? He gave thanks. I mean, he's God. Why would he do that? To be our example. Why did Jesus pray? He's God. To be our example. Honestly, God did this rest for our example. Look there in chapter 20, verse 10. Exodus 20 and verse 10. But the seventh day. Yeah, we'll just come and do these two verses. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Doesn't matter if he's Jew or not. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy. He did that for our benefit. So he rested as an example, and then he did something special. He made it a holy day. How many of you, you know, here in Ireland, up until recently, you know, every month had a holy day in it. And everything was a holy, holy day. Do you know what a holy day is? The Sabbath. Once a week. God made that day specially holy, specially clean. A day to worship God, to get right with God, to enjoy being clean on the inside and out. That's why we dress up on Sunday. That's why you don't come in. Now, listen, if you had to coming straight from work, come on. But if you're coming in looking like you just got off the beach, I'm just telling you, folks, the purpose of the Sabbath is to set a day apart and to say, it's a holy day. You wouldn't go to a wedding looking like you came, well, some of you would maybe, go like you came off the beach. But you kind of dress up for the occasion, don't you? So he sanctified that seventh day and he made it a holy day. Now, there are now two important days in a week. All cultures have a seven-day week. I don't care whether you're what nation you're from, tribe or culture, except for the French. See, the French tried back in the 1700s, 1792, they decided because they got rid of the kings and they got rid of the Catholic Church. They says, we're just going to change everything. And they did. They said 1792 was year one of their calendar. All the clocks were changed from 24 hours to 20 hours, 10 days sunlight or 10 hours sunlight and 10 hours darkness. So everybody had to now learn about what hour it was. The week became 10 days long. So they had to work 9 days and then a 10th day they would be allowed to rest. This is what they tried to do. I'll give you one guess how many years, remember the word number 10? How many years that lasted before the French had to wave the white flag, like they always do, and say, we got to go back to the old seven-day week. 10 years. They pushed it through for 10 years, and the workforce was dropping dead because they were working 9 days and then trying to rest the 10th and then working 9 days, and the bodies weren't able for it. You were made to work six and rest a seventh. All cultures have a seven-day work week. We need a cycle of 7 days. That means work fields, work your jobs, work the markets, and then one day you rest from working. Now, two of those days stand out, all right, in a week. It's the first day of the week. We can call that creation day. But there's also, that's a pretty important week. By the way, what day is it today? It's the first day of the week. Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is, always has been. It's the bankers that moved all the calendars to Monday being. I just can't tell you how frustrating it is for people to change people's concepts. But the first day of the week is Sunday. And then there's a second day now. And that's the last day of the week, which is Saturday. Now, we Christians know which one is more important. It's Sunday. Why would Christians think that Sunday is more important? Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 24 in verse 1. Luke 24 and verse 1. Now upon the, talk to me, what's the words? Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, this is where Jesus was buried, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I mean, what are they doing? Now, what happened? Where's his body? He's gone. He raised from the dead on what day? On the first day of the week. So you know what's more important to a Christian? Now, I know the Jews like the Sabbath, but I'm a Christian. The most important day, now there are two important days in the week, no question, but Sunday is the more important day. It's greater now. The cross, folks, the cross changed history. The resurrection changed our calendar. Everything is about the living Savior, Jesus Christ now. So when you start talking about the Sabbath, understand we're talking now on this side of the cross, and we're able to speak about the Sabbath as a Christian, not as a Jew or an ex-Jew or anything like this, not even as a Gentile. I speak it as a Christian. I'll teach you that in a moment. So let's talk about the meaning of rest. Just get down. Go to Exodus 34. Back to Exodus 34. In verse 21, Exodus 34 and verse 21, God says, and he repeats it lots of times. He says, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest, whether it's in earing time and in harvest, which are busy times. You say, well, the cow's got to be milked. The harvest has to be brought in. The bills have to be paid. I understand that. But he says, whether in earing time or in harvest, what are you supposed to do on the Sabbath? Rest. You have to rest. So what is the meaning of rest? It is a forced break from work. You got a schedule. I have to stop. I have to stop and rest. How come some people burn out? How come some people mentally just can't cope? You know why? Because they never stopped themselves and just said, I got to take a break. I have to walk home and get some rest. I have to stop whatever's coming at me. God will take care of it. I've got to go rest. That is what rest means. Rest isn't, oh, and I feel like taking a nap. No, that's not rest. Rest is a scheduled, forced time that you stop. No exertion, no labor, no toiling, no cooking, no working, no traveling. It simply means to simply relax, do very little. You know what that means? No worrying, no panicking, no bitter thinking, no arguing, no fighting. Amen. The Sabbath was a time when you laughed. when you rejoiced, when you praised God, there was the Sabbath was a day that you had no stress at all. Now, you don't have to go to sleep to be at rest. You just have to stop working. Just stop and breathe. Enjoy a moment. Do you know how many of you don't know what you did this week and whether there was anything that was good this week? Because you don't ever stop and just think and go, man, God was good. Resting allows you to reflect and went, man, God took care of us. That's what it's for. It allows you to just enjoy moments. It's called being still. And I know I'm driving, and you know what? And we're down on the streets on Friday. I don't know. I'm sure it's the same on Saturday, Jerry. When we're standing out there, and 1 out of 100 people passing by will actually make eye contact with me. You know what everybody else's eyes are on? Their phone. I mean, they're walking across the street, they're walking right by, and they're just like this. They are pure zombies. Man, they don't know how to be still. I see a busload of people going down. Here goes bus air in there. There goes CIE. There goes air coach. You know what everybody's doing? There's one or two elderly people like me who are sitting there looking out and just looking at the sights. People don't know how to just be still. And I think it's a shame. Now, I can't make you be still. If you didn't learn it from your parents, I'm not going to be able to teach you. But you need to know there ought to be a time where you put that phone down and you put turn the television off, you turn RTE off, and you put the social media about 4 miles away, and you just sit outside and listen to the birds, and you just start singing and praising God, or you start memorizing a verse, or you talk to your husband, or you talk to your wife. Hey, your kids, you didn't know you had 3 kids, man. I thought we just had one. Because you've been distracted. You don't know how to relax. You were made to relax. Now, some people think that's a sin to not do anything. No, that's not true. Now, some of you don't do anything, and that's a sin. But there's a time you're supposed to be working, and then you're supposed to relax. And that's a good thing. Now, I feel guilty sometimes when I'm just sitting around, and all of a sudden I just start feeling guilty because I'm not doing anything. But I know this. I'm supposed to do nothing. There's a time where I'm just sitting there. That's what it means to rest. When's the last time you actually just experienced rest? When you're just able to sit down and go, that was refreshing. I'm ready for Monday. Amen? So let me talk to you about the importance of rest. Go to Mark 6:31. Go to the right, find Mark. Matthew, Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus is a very, very busy man. Mark chapter 6. He has thousands of people who queue up to him every day, sitting there listening to him teach. John says if everything that Jesus did and said was recorded, the world could not contain it all. He constantly taught. He constantly worked, touched, healed, helped, prayed with. He constantly was busy. But listen to him here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. The disciples have to keep up with him, but Jesus notices, he said unto the disciples, come ye yourselves apart unto a what? Where there's no people. Go to a desert place where nobody's there. And rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure. The disciples had no rest, no leisure so much as to eat. Evidently, Jesus thought it was important to rest. Now, there are three parts of you that need to rest. You know them if you know your Bible, your body, soul, and spirit. So you need to rest physically. That's outside. Emotionally, that's inside. And spiritually, that's upside. That's you need to be at rest between you and God. You need to be at rest between you and temptations. You need to be at rest between you and the devil. Amen. You don't have to constantly wrestle the devil. You know, if you just get close to God, you can say boo to the devil and he will flee from you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Submit yourself there to God, therefore to God. So every part of you needs rest. I'll give you an example. How about the brain? Social media has cursed this generation. It will keep you from listening to more, it would keep you listening to more and more podcasts, scrolling through more and more pages. It doesn't matter what I say to you and what the studies show, that people are Oxycontin addicted. It's the same as a drug to their social media. They will for an hour flip through, 2 hours flip through, 3 hours flip through, watching the most mundane and most sometimes wicked things. And then they can't sleep. They can't sleep. They can't rest. When you are constantly overthinking, worrying, anxious, fearful, that won't let you rest. That's what politics and that's what the news media is trying to do. It stirs up everybody. Christians are not to be stirred up. Do you know the only person that ought to stir us up is Jesus Christ? If the devil walked in here right now, every one of us should just look at him and go, I knew he was here. And we go back to listen to the word of God. We don't panic. I don't care who's elected. I don't care who's trying to be in charge. I don't care who's ruining life. God is still on the throne. Amen? We don't care. My brain has to rest. My brain needs to be able to shut down and go, Lord, I'll see you in the morning. Nod your head. Amen? Too many of you are uptight, frustrated, angry because you're allowing people and the media and things to enslave every thought. You know what my thought belongs to? Him. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. This is where our battle is. It's right inside this head. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that we use in our fight, they're not carnal, they're not physical, they're not guns and bombs, but they are mighty. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of, strongholds. Watch where the strongholds are. Watch it. Casting down what? To cast down is if I have this imagination, if I have this thing going on inside of my head, this is wrong. You know what I do with it? I cast it down. Casting down every imaginations and every high thing. That's a powerful thing. That's a political thing. That's an emotional thing. Casting down every high thing that exalted itself against my knowledge of God, my thought of him, and I'm bringing into captivity every what? Every what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ, not to the obedience of anyone else. I want my thoughts to be controlled by him. Your brain needs to rest. Secondly, your body needs to rest. Well, we read that there. Then Mark 6:31, come ye apart into a desert place, he said, and rest a while. Burnout is real. A lot of people, they have ulcers, indigestion, heartburn, reflux. It's because the body is never allowed to rest, never allowed to recover from the previous day's stress. Your soul and your spirit needs rest. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Your soul and your spirit need to rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto, not my mother. He doesn't say, come unto my church. What does he say? Come unto me. All ye that labor, there's our 6-day work week, and are heavy laden, and Sabbath won't give you rest. No, no, no. Not like I will. God, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Oh, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, not of your social media. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I care about you. And ye shall find rest all the way to your what? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Your soul needs rest. That's deep, deep rest. When Moses was carrying the world on his shoulders, he led Israel out of Egypt. You know what Moses said? I can't do it. God, I can't go one more step. I feel like I'm alone. You said you know me. Well, if you know me, I can't do this. I need you to help me. And God says, listen, let me read for you. You don't have to go there, but Exodus 33:14. God said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. God promised, just like Jesus, I'll be your rest. Because your soul and your spirit needs rest. Your emotions need rest. Go to First Peter. All the way to the right, First Peter chapter 1, chapter 5. I'm looking at two different lines there. First Peter chapter 5, one of my most favorite scriptures. First Peter 5 and verse 7. Your emotions need to be able to rest. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting some of your care upon him. Is that what it says? Listen, when my emotions are getting out of bounds and getting out of control, I mean, ladies, gentlemen, emotions we never control anymore, do we? We just say whatever comes to our mind. We just speak our mind. And the Bible says, you know what? If you have a care, if you have a concern, who needs to hear about it? Him. Casting all of your worries, casting all of your care upon him, because he cares. If nobody else does, he does. Your emotions need to rest. And this is the truth. You can forfeit the priceless rest by rebellion, by bad attitudes, by holding on to grudges, by being bitter, by being angry, by having wrath, by being obsessed with revenge. You can never enjoy that rest. And I have to ask you this. If you're not regularly resting, it's because you don't see it as a commandment. You're waiting for your doctor to say, you need a break. It's also because you're addicted to staying up late watching something on your phone. Amen. If I asked you what time you went to bed last night, many of you'd say about 1 a.m. And I'd say, what were you doing? I was watching something on my phone. That's not right. There are times when you need to be up to date on things, but don't you understand? We're being robbed of the blessing of rest. It's robbing you of time with your spouse. It's robbing you of your sleep. Many of you are addicted to playing games on your phone, constantly texting, watching videos, watching the TV. I guarantee you, most of you are addicted to your phone so much that you will find it hard to ever, ever get to the place where you just sit and you're not looking at it. If I could video you for an hour, 45 minutes of it, you'll be like this. And you would be like, I never knew I did that. If you're not resting, it'll hurt you. I guarantee you, every study is out there, you were made to rest. You need not only sleep, but rest, where you just stop working and stressing out. Now, let's get on to how important the Sabbath was to the Jews. Again, like I said, all cultures have a seven-day week. Different cultures have different years. They have, like the Jews have 360-day years. Muslims have different names for years and different days and months and so on and so forth. But every culture has a seven-day week. But the Jews know it is special to them because it's in the fourth commandment. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8 this time. There are 10 commandments given in Exodus chapter 20, and the fourth one starts off this way in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son. You can't get your son to do it. Nor thy daughter, thy manservant. Well, I've got this slave here. I've got this servant here. No, you're not going to make them work either. Nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate. This is the reason why. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. So I'm going to say that the Sabbath is specifically, watch this, for the Jews. Go to Exodus 31. You're in chapter 20. Go to chapter 31. Exodus 31 and verse 12. Exodus 31 and verse 12, he picks up there and it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto who? All right, I want you to notice this is directed right at the Jews to the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and the whole world. What does it say? Between me and you, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I made this day special, but I made you special. Verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be. Somebody says, I keep the Sabbath. You'd be dead. Because I bet you haven't kept it like the Jews did. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh, it is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath. Who is? The children of Israel, throughout their generations, for a never-ending covenant, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel for how long? Wow. Forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. You see how they're constantly quoting back Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Did you notice all the Jewish people keeping the Sabbath? God said, it's a sign to the rest of the world that you're my people. It is for you, for all your generations. It never stops. It is perpetual. And it reminds them, it reminds the Jewish people that God sanctified them and set them apart from the world. We need to remember that there is no record anywhere of anyone keeping the Sabbath for the first 2,500 years of history until Exodus chapter 20. Nobody kept the Sabbath until God said, you Jews, I want you to keep the Sabbath. Nobody kept it beforehand, not by commandment. It wasn't until God gave the law to Moses for Israel that God gave the Sabbath as a sign between him and Israel specifically. So he didn't expect it of the Egyptians, didn't expect it of anybody else, but he did expect it of his people. So we come along. If you think Christians need to keep the Sabbath like the Jews, remember, if you broke the Sabbath, like if you worked on the Saturday instead of rested, you had to be executed. If you cooked on the Sabbath, you were breaking the Sabbath. You always had to prepare on Friday what you're going to eat on Saturday. If you buy or sell on the Sabbath, even by Amazon, you were working and breaking the Sabbath. If you mowed the grass, if you mended a fence, if you built a shed, you were breaking the Sabbath. If you knitted or sewed, you were working, and that meant you should die. I tried to tell my wife that when she says, go mow the grass. I say, what day is it? So I can get out of it. Now, the Pharisees made this day impossible. They took the commandment to not work, and they made it incredibly enslaving. The Pharisees thought the more rules, the better. And I believe my parents believed that as well. You know, my parents always came up with new rules. But the Pharisees just kept coming up with new and new laws about the Sabbath. They couldn't. They made it so that under the Pharisees and their idea of what the Sabbath is, nobody could write a letter. Nobody could just put a note on something. They weren't allowed to put two individual letters together to make a sentence. It was to them, that was work. You couldn't move a piece of furniture. Oh, us husbands, we really would love that law. Can we move this over there? No, it's the Sabbath, amen. And no one could heal anyone. Somebody was invalid and they were on the side of the road on the Sabbath. You couldn't touch them. You couldn't help them. Jesus showed them that was not the intent of the law, did he? You know, people were afraid to move around on the Sabbath. They would sit in a room all day long, and the Pharisees had robbed the joy of the Sabbath. And this brings up the point. The Jews need to enter into the true Sabbath rest. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show you a verse that is always misunderstood. I don't find people actually believe in this verse like it's written. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. I've heard this preached, and I understand it, and they don't just, they symbolize it, but I want you to see Hebrews was written to what people?
Hebrew-speaking people, to the Jews.
And in chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest, not to the Christians. You know what? Christians are already, I have rest. You know who my rest is? Jesus Christ. I can enter into rest anytime I want. But there is a rest for the Jewish people of God who are not saved. They have not entered into rest. That's the whole point of chapter 3 and chapter 4. Don't be hard-hearted like your fathers. God said, they're not entering into my rest. And the Jewish people of that day were not entering into God's rest, which is Jesus. And the Jews need to enter into true Sabbath rest. Now, what is the Sabbath to the believer? Well, having the Sabbath day is not a bad thing. It's actually very, very good for you. We all, hey, we still have 7-day work weeks, don't we? Or 7-day weeks. Saturday is still the 7th day of the week. And the commandment, hey, I'll be right honest with you, God did not delete the commandments from the Bible when you got saved, did he? But I want to tell you something. You don't have to keep the commandments anymore. Amen. You know who kept the commandments for you perfectly? Jesus Christ. So if I'm not keeping the Sabbath, it's okay. If I don't actually shut down on a Saturday and sit there all day and do no work, if I actually do some work on a Saturday, I don't die. Amen? So having the Sabbath is not a bad thing. The commandment, if you think that you're going to be righteous enough to go to heaven, somebody says, I think I'm good enough. Do you keep the Sabbath? Well, I try to. You're out. You have to keep it. But the point is this. Jesus obeyed. I don't know why it's not on the list, but Jesus obeyed the Sabbath for every believer. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at why Jesus came. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. That's what listen. I mean, if you tried to live by the law, you'd want it to be destroyed as well. You'd get tired of it. But Jesus said this. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. Let's put it this way. I've got this debt I've rung up. Maybe it's a school debt. Maybe it's a debt on the car and I can't pay. And then Tom comes along and Tom could do one of two things. He can either ruin my life or he can fulfill my requirement and pay it for me. And that's what Jesus did. He could have come in and pointed out, you're not a law keeper. You're not a law keeper. You're a sinner. Jesus didn't do that. We already knew we were sinners. You know what Jesus did? I'll fulfill all the requirements. I'll pay off all of your debts so that you can go free. Jesus came and he kept the Sabbath perfectly. Do you know why he got baptized? You ever wonder that? I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. Why does he get baptized? He's not anybody who thinks he washes away sin. You've got Jesus washing away his sin. Doesn't work. You know why Jesus got baptized? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 3. And I want you to go to 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan of John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him. John said, what? You don't need to be baptized, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us, it's for us to fulfill what? I've got to fulfill every dot, every tittle, so that you can be forgiven. I came to fulfill. So you say, Brother Ledbetter, I'm not baptized. Am I still going to heaven? Yeah. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Amen. Now you should get baptized. Just like if you work for Dunn's, you should wear the outfit. But that doesn't make you saved or not saved if you're baptized or not. Jesus fulfilled even the requirements of baptism so I can be free. So I can follow the Lord Jesus. Did you know farming and gardening needs its own Sabbath? I'm out of my signal for 60. Let's see where I am. Yeah, I said that. So Christians do not need to keep the Sabbath to be right with God. Colossians chapter 2. Find the right. We're almost done. Colossians chapter 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 16.
If you're born again, you can hold on to this verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat by what you eat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day. Well, you're not keeping the holy day. Or of the new moon, or of what? Don't let anybody judge you for the fact that you don't keep the Sabbath or that you do keep the Sabbath. I don't know what you're doing. Because they're all, verse 17, are a shadow of things to come, but the body of believers, we belong to Christ. So don't let anybody put you under the bondage of keeping the Sabbath or keeping the Old Testament law. I've got Jesus. Amen? That doesn't mean I don't try to live right, but I don't have to. And that's revolutionary for most people. So we still need a day of rest and worship. Romans chapter 4, go back to left, find Romans chapter 14. This is where it gets very practical. Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. Somebody says, I know a church, they meet on a Saturday. So? I know a church, they meet on Tuesdays. So? Watch this. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You see that thing? If you think that we ought to meet on Tuesdays, hey man, go right, go ahead. I believe we ought to meet like the New Testament Christians do in the first century. They met always on the first day of the week. And as a matter of fact, it went further. It says they met every day. They couldn't get enough of it. But they primarily did it on the first day of the week. And so I continue that. But man, this is not a big deal about whether you keep the Sabbath. No. But it's not a bad thing. You see, even farming and gardening. I'll just read this for you. I'm trying to finish. Leviticus 25 says this, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, don't prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of the harvest shalt thou not reap. Doesn't matter if a tree produces fruit. Neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed for a year of rest unto the land. We call it crop rotation, but it's more than that. It's when the field is left alone, and you don't go in there and pluck anything. You just let it grow. And the next year you come in and you mulch it all up and start all over and you run it for 6 years. But on the every 7 years, you let the land rest. Isn't that interesting? There's another one in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath day. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor your ox. Let them have a day off. Nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor any strangers within thy gates. That thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thee. Your farm animals need to rest. You use a farm animal to plow. You use one to grist mill. Let it rest a day. Even in the New Testament, it sure makes sense, doesn't it? Let them rest. So, I had a thought here, and I'm not getting to it, but I'll just finish up. There's more than just one day of rest being talked about when it talks about the Sabbath. Is an example, the Sabbath is an example of our rest in Christ. There comes a time where, remember when you were unsaved and you're going to church and you're listening to the priest and you're listening to the nuns and you're constantly in fear of, have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Have I prayed enough? And you work and you work and you work and you work. And then you meet Jesus and he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And you go, I'll take that. You see, the Sabbath is all the way at the beginning to show us we need a rest. Not just to our flesh, now that was the beginning of it, but God rested to show us a deeper meaning that I needed Christ. The Sabbath is a picture of people's need to be able to rest in Christ, to be saved, born again, safe, secure. Also is a picture of no more wanderings. The Jews were coming out of Egypt, and God called the Promised Land a land of rest, where when you get into it, you'll be at rest. You'll be in the middle of my will, and I will protect you. And let me tell you this. The Sabbath is a great symbol, a great illustration, a great example of getting into the middle of God's will. You'll never know rest when you're fighting God, But when you finally just do his will, there is perfect peace. Sabbath rest is also a great picture of the future millennial kingdom of the Messiah on earth. Because there are 6,000 years of history, and then one more thousand years to come, the seventh, and it'll be a year of rest. And you and I are going into it. And the lamb will lay down with the lion. You know what it says during the millennium? It says the planter will be overtaken by the harvester. I don't know if you get that picture. But the guy who's planting, there's somebody coming up behind him who's pulling up the plants that have already grown, and he will get ahead of you because it will be so bountiful. It doesn't even feel like work anymore. That's the future. And the Sabbath has that all built in there. And I didn't even touch for it. There's actually three more concepts about the Sabbath. I just don't have time to. I mean, just tell you, when some cult comes along, like Seventh-day Adventists who say you need to keep the Sabbath, or the Jews say you need to keep the Sabbath, I just look at it and I say, Jesus kept it for me. I do believe in the Sabbath. I believe I need the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, I believe you ought to rest on Saturday, but you also have to mow the grass. But I believe you ought to make Sunday for Jesus. I'm going to say that in just a moment. Let me tell you how to rest like God did. Number one, you need to make a day every week your day of rest. Switch off the world, switch off RTE, switch off. Listen, Sunday ought to be a day. Doesn't have to be Sunday. Do it on Saturday. I don't care, but do it one day where that phone is not your God. Switch this world off. Enjoy your family. Have time just for yourself. Go for walks. Do some bird watching. Go to the sea and just sit there. Joshua and I went to, this past Monday, we went down to Garyvoe Beach. And the sun was out, and we plopped down. I brought our folding chairs. We sat down there, and we just sat there, closed our eyes. About 10 minutes later, the cloud came in. We went, ooh. Is that enough enjoyment? We had to go walking and to keep moving and freezing. But it was so priceless just to not say anything, but just sit there and listen to the wind and the waves. That's rest. Read a book. Read your Bible, man. If you had the conviction to spend as much time in your Bible as you do on that phone, you'd finish the book. You'd finish the Bible every month. It takes 72 hours to read your Bible start to finish if you never stopped. That's all. I guess I would bet this past month you spent 72 hours on your phone. Make a day. Secondly, make yourself rest. It's commanded. Force yourself to rest. Your body's been trained. When you go to sleep, it takes you an hour to go to sleep. It's because you haven't learned to make yourself switch off and just praise God and just quiet down and rest. Put away every distraction for that day. Your phone is by you constantly. Guess what you're going to do at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m.? You're going to look at it. When you get into bed, listen to these three words. You ready? Go to sleep. When you're out with people, talk to them. Don't pull out your phone. Spend time with them. Talk with each other. Play. Listen to each other. Sit and encourage each other. Just with your presence. If you're on your phone, you're not there. Amen? I mean, just see the rudeness of everybody. Now, I'm just as guilty. Don't you think that I'm sitting here living on a higher level than you? I'm convicted constantly. That stupid phone, I'm pulling it out, checking it, and I'm going, God, deliver me. Because not only do I need to rest, but people need to know they're important. Put away every distraction. Make sure the day is all about Jesus, not about you. Rest on Saturday. Yeah, amen. But when you get up on Sunday, get up early, gather together, worship, serve each other. Folks, let me tell you, Sunday is not my Sabbath. It's my busiest day. You know what my Sabbath is? Monday. Now, you can phone me on Monday, but I might not answer. But Monday is my day of rest. But Sunday, I'm here early. I'm up at 5:30. I'm here at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Going around checking if anything's going on, needs to be done or whatever. That's my calling. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I make it about Jesus. Colossians 3:20 says, whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I don't do it for you. I want to be a blessing to you, but I'm trying to please him. enjoy God. If you don't enjoy the Bible, if you don't enjoy hymn singing, if you don't enjoy churches because you don't know how to rest, because when you do switch off the phone and all the worldly influences, you'll fall in love with God's people. You'll fall in love with godly music. You'll fall in love with God's words. It is priceless to be able just to sit back and be able to say, God, I love you. I never realized how much I needed you and how much I enjoy knowing you're with me. Enjoy God. That's Sabbath. By the way, step down from being in charge on that day. Stop managing everything. Stop being God. At work, you may have to make decisions. You may have to fire people. You may have to buy things. But on that day that you take off and you're resting, let God be God. Don't have to just constantly be in charge. And if you, folks, if you, Jesus is in a ship and it's sinking and he's asleep in the back of the ship. Remember that? What does Peter do when he wakes him up? He says, don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he says, where's your faith? I'm going back to sleep. Jesus was teaching that there are some things you just got to leave to God and go ahead and go to sleep. Amen. Get some rest. So if you have worry, if you're anxious, if you're obsessed with things, you need to confess them as sin and ask God to help you rest. Don't try to constantly be God. Last two things, be thankful and forgive everybody. That's how you will enjoy your Sabbath. You say, do I have to do this the whole day? No. But you ought to try. You ought to make one day, you ought to make it Sunday. I don't think you have to work as hard on Sunday as I do. But you ought to make that day, as you're saying, that's my Sabbath. And during that day, I'm just going to be thankful. I come into church and you see Christopher, I thank God for Christopher. You see Jane, I thank God for Jane. You see Jack, you say, I thank God for Jack. You see Tom, you go, no, never mind. Let's see somebody else. There's Cindy back there. We're going to miss her for a whole month. I don't know how we're going to survive. Our coffee will be terrible. But there she is fixing that coffee every Sunday. And you just go up and you grab that cup of coffee. Thank you. You know, it'd be nice if at least one day a week we were thankful. Amen? And that involves one last thing, forgive. Sunday's that day. I call it Sunday. Could be, you could do it on Saturday, but it ought to be spilling evidently also on Sunday. Where you just forgive, man. Whatever happened during the week, you just forgive. And you say, they didn't know what they were doing. That's what Jesus did, remember? They put him on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So you say, well, they knew exactly what they're doing. You don't need to be God. Just say, I forgive them. I give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to love them. I'm going to start over. That's what Sabbath does. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we have to keep Saturday. I'm not saying that we ought to die if we don't do this. I'm telling you, the principle of the Sabbath is life-changing. It is good. And as Christians, it's far superior than what the Jews had to do. Because they never could figure out where does work end and rest begin. And they constantly argued about that for hundreds and maybe thousands of years. I can look at it and go, Jesus kept it perfect. I'm okay if I don't. So why did God rest from his work? Number one, to show you his work is perfect. Do you know, when I asked Jesus Christ to save me, I don't know why, it just, the penny dropped. But when I asked God to save me 44 years ago, I never went back. I wonder if I'm good enough. I wonder if I'm saved enough. I wonder if I've blown it. I wonder if I've committed the unpardonable sin. I wonder, it was finished. My confusion didn't matter. He said, saved. Amen? So the Sabbath proves his work is perfect. Secondly, it gives us an example of working and then resting. We know it with our kids. We say, it's time for a nap. Look at Miss Grouchy Pants. It's time for a very long nap. We know when people need rest, we just don't accept it with ourselves. God showed us that. Third, it forces us to reset, prioritize the right things every week. Whew. Isaiah 57 says this. So this, to show us Christ would give us rest. Isaiah 57 verse 20 says this, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Folks, the Sabbath is there to show us there is a rest and we're not enjoying it. And you got to realize that your life is like a muddy, mucky ocean thrown up mire and muck. It's just awful. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Man, it's just rotten. And I'll tell you, the Sabbath shows you need somebody who can give you rest. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're a blessing. And your life is clean and it's refreshing because sin never did us one second of good. Jesus Christ will give us rest. And the reason why God rested from his work was to give us a pattern for a future kingdom where he'll be back in charge. Amen. And it will be 1,000 years of rest. We call it the millennial kingdom, and it's worth studying and learning about. Let me tell you, this ain't all there is to God's plan. I hope you're in on it. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to think for a second. Ask ourselves, am I anxious all the time? Am I angry all the time? Am I full of frustration, discouragement? Am I carrying the world on my shoulders? Do I enjoy prayer? Do I enjoy church? Do I enjoy preaching, even when it hurts me? Do I enjoy my Bible? Do I even enjoy God? It might be because I have no rest. I'm stressed out. I'm crushed under pressure, and I'm letting myself be hurt. When you tell me I need to force myself one day a week to not work, to just be still and know you're God, to just breathe out praise to you, to just sit and remember how good you've been, to just praise and thank you, to just worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all got lots of things to do tomorrow, Lord, but maybe not think of one of them before we've thought of you. And we've done what we can today for you, just for you. I pray, God, if there's somebody in this room who's religious, pray their prayers, they're working hard at trying to be good, Lord, would you convince them? They've worked now. It's time to rest. And that rest will be found in Jesus Christ. And his perfect work, both in life and on the cross, can save their soul. None of us will ever be good enough. None of us can ever keep the laws. None of us can earn heaven. It is a gift. And it's a gift to those who would believe. Jesus Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Let somebody believe the gospel today. And let every Christian decide, you know, I never thought about rest. I'm burning out and I'm tired. And I'm letting the world kill me when I need to cast down that imagination and those thoughts and that pressure and get back to worshiping Jesus. Refresh us all today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal 175.